Well, this is my gift to Pastor Tom, Christmas gift, because he did three services yesterday. But the real reason he's not here this morning, he didn't want to tell you, is that after those three services were done last night, he still had to do all of his Christmas shopping. He's going to be up very late. All the people laughing are those husbands and fathers who are out there with him at the same time. Well, here's a Christmas morning quiz for you. What one word is found most often with the word Christmas and is used to describe it in a greeting? What one word? Merry. Merry Christmas. Did you ever notice that we don't ever say somber Christmas or solemn Christmas, have a grave Christmas, a gloomy Christmas, a grumpy Christmas? We don't ever say those things. We always say, Merry Christmas. Well, here's the way Webster defines the word merry. First of all, giving pleasure or delightful. Secondly, full of gaiety or high spirits, mirthful. And third, marked by festivity or gaiety. This last week, I was reading in the Boulder Daily Camera about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Did anybody else see that article? Did you know that that story was actually part of a Montgomery Ward's sales gimmick in the 1930s? And it just kind of stuck and is now part of our Christmas tradition. But Merry Christmas is not an advertising slogan cooked up by Madison Avenue to kind of hype the holiday and get more sales. Hallmark did not come up with this phrase, Merry Christmas, to sell more of their cards. As you know, the word Christmas means Christ's birth. And in the Bible, that is a merry event. So we go back to Webster. Christmas gives pleasure. It's delightful. People who truly embrace the birth of Christ should be full of gaiety, full of high spirits. They are mirthful. This day should be characterized by festivity and gaiety, which is why Pastor Tom chose the word joy as kind of the theme running through his pre-Christmas sermon. So we looked, for instance, at finding joy, joy's ultimate source. Yesterday, his message was on restoring joy. This morning, I just want to focus on celebrating the joy of Christmas. Our Christmas carols are full of joy. As I looked through the hymnal this week, this is what I found. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Or there's a second verse of O come, Emmanuel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. It came upon a midnight clear, the third verse. And ye, beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. Angels we have heard on high, shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say what may glad tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, joy in the triumph of the skies. With angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Or there's that echo carol, how great our joy. While by the sheep we watched at night, glad tidings brought an angel bright. How great our joy. Joy, joy, joy. Joy, joy, joy. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. Praise we the Lord in heaven on high. O come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, good Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Is therein while shepherds watch their flocks by night, O little town of Bethlehem, and as with gladness men of old. Do you wish we could sing all of those this morning? But the joy is in our Christmas carols because it's in the Bible first. And so I'd like to read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. The first five verses talk about the census that was commanded by the emperor Caesar Augustus, and then Joseph and Mary traveling from Nazareth in the north down to Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem. And we pick up that story in verse 6. Probably a lot of you already read this story this morning in your home. While Mary and Joseph were there, the time for Mary to be delivered came. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. Well, how do we celebrate the joy of Christmas? Let's take our cues from this Christmas story. Celebrating the joy of Christmas begins in reverent reflection, turning our thoughts to an exploration of what Christmas is all about, who Christ is, and what he came to do. The gospel writer Luke says that Mary pondered these things in her heart. She weighed them out carefully in her mind. She thought about them. She meditated on them. She reflected on the words of the angel and their meaning and their import and their significance for her and for the whole world. I mean, her life would never be the same. The world would never be the same from this day on. I think it's a little more than ironic that the very busyness of our Christmas celebrations keep us from doing what Mary did. I mean, between all of the shopping and the school and the church and the community events, a lot of times we simply don't take the time to think deeply about the true meaning of Christmas. But we should, because that's where the joy of Christmas begins. Mary kept these things. In the King James Version, it says she treasured these things and pondered them in her heart. I appreciate so much that you all came here this morning to do that very thing, to turn your hearts, turn your thoughts to the true meaning of Christmas and celebrating the Christ child. We celebrate the joy of Christmas first as we ponder. Another word that helps us celebrate the joy of Christmas is wonder. And when the shepherds saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. What do you think the shepherds told them? I think they said the same thing that the angels told them. We bring you good news of great joy, which will be to all the people, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. If you ponder the meaning of Christmas, it will lead you to a sense of awe and wonder. The long-awaited Messiah has come. He has come as Savior, and it says that He has come as Lord. And be very careful about this. The angel doesn't say He is a Lord. He says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. It's a title of deity. Listen to these ancient prophecies. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And keep in mind that these words were written some 700 years before that first Christmas morning. Isaiah writes this: therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. There are two wonders here in this prophecy. The first is that there's a virgin who conceives and bears a son. That's a wonder. But the far greater wonder is the identity of this son who is born to this virgin. It says His name will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. A human baby born to this Jewish peasant woman, and yet in this baby, God Himself comes to us and is with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 to 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This prophecy of the Messiah tells us that the Messiah will be authentically human. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And yet this child is given the divine title, Mighty God. A mortal child, and yet God Almighty Himself. And then, as if to wonder how this can possibly be, the prophet says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Only God could bring this about. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Though it staggers our imagination and beggars our words, the claim of the New Testament is that in Jesus, this babe in Bethlehem's manger, we see the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob drawn so near to us, so near that He became one of us, so intimately involved in human life that He made it His own. In the Christ of Christmas, we see God Himself focused in our humanity. We celebrate that in the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. Our celebration of the joy of Christmas begins as we ponder these things in our hearts. And then as we reflect on the true meaning of Christmas, we give ourselves to a shivering, hushed sense of wonder and astonishment and reverence and awe. Third, we celebrate the joy of Christmas as we give our hearts and voices in worship and praise to God. We see that first in the response of the angels. First, they herald the good news. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And then the very next thing that happens is that they break out in praise and worship. Glory to God in the highest. What only God could do, God has done. And the fitting response of our hearts is praise, worship, adoration. We see this also in the response of the shepherds. It says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. They glorified God. They gave praise to God. Pondering the meaning of Christmas leads to wonder at the meaning of Christmas, and then wonder leads to worship. That's the pattern of Christmas joy. Ponder, wonder, worship. You know, the fact that you're here this morning probably means that you've already had a very full, busy morning. You got up this morning, you had breakfast, probably some of you, like us, we were still wrapping presents this morning, trying to get them under the tree, and trying to get some food in us and get dressed so that we'd come to church and be part of this service. And probably after this, we're all rushing somewhere else. Maybe you're going to rush home so that you can get a meal prepared, or maybe you're going to rush home and drive off to the home of a family or a friend. And so, knowing that that is probably the case, I'd like to invite you to take just a few moments with me this morning, a few moments of silence, to ponder, to wonder, and to worship at this Christmas time. Ready to do this? Let's do this together. I just want you to start by closing your eyes. And then take some slow, deep breaths. Relax. Just release the pressures of the week and of the day. You can literally just open your hands and let go of them for just a moment. And then in your mind, just step back. Step away from those things and let your heart be still. Give your heart's focus to Christ, what God has purposed to do for our world through Him. The greatest gift you can give to Him is your heart's affection. So open your heart to the wonder and the awe of Christ's birth. Then with the angels and the shepherds, just spend a few moments worshiping and praising God. We celebrate the joy of Christmas as we ponder these things in our hearts, as Mary did. We celebrate the joy of Christmas as we wonder at these things that have been told us by the shepherds. That we celebrate the joy of Christmas as we praise and honor God, give our hearts to Him in worship. And finally, we celebrate the joy of Christmas by sharing this good news with others. The angels shared the good news with the shepherds, and then the shepherds shared the good news with anyone and everyone who would listen to their message. When they saw the angel's sign that was fulfilled in this babe in Bethlehem's manger, it says, "And when they saw it, they made known the saying which had been told them concerning this child." I mean, you get the feeling that they couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help but share this good news. I mean, if it's true, this is way too good to keep to ourselves. It's way too good. Who needs to hear this Christmas message in your life, in your circle of friends and relationships? Who can you tell about the Savior, who is Christ the Lord? You know, you don't have to prepare a speech. You don't have to give a sermon. You just have to do what the angels and the shepherds did. You ponder, you wonder, you worship, and then you, out of the overflow of your heart, you just tell other people this incredibly good news about Christ. Let's close this morning in prayer. You know, it may be the case this morning that you're here and you've never really looked beyond the lights and the tinsel, the Christmas trees, the presents, all the holiday food until this moment. And now you find yourself confronted by these words: "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Unto you is born this day. In other words, this is for you. This is God's greatest gift to you. This present has your name on it. A Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A rescuer, a deliverer, a liberator for you. He can save you from the sin that has estranged and alienated you from God. He can restore that broken relationship that lies at the very center of life. Turn from sin this morning. All the ways in which you have held God at arm's length in your life, and perhaps you've even pushed Him away. And then turn to God in faith, believing that He sent Christ for you to be your Savior, your Lord. Then you can join us in the true celebration of the joy of Christmas. Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, Savior, Lord, be honored in our hearts and our lives this day as we celebrate your birth, your coming to this world, your coming to us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.